I'll turn it over to Dr. Graham for the superintendent's update.
Good evening. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, right? We're off to a good start after the New Year. And I want to just let everybody know that this weekend there are members of the board, the administration, the Classroom Teachers Association, and the Administrators Association, as well as members of our legislative committee who will be attending an advocacy workshop. And this advocacy workshop is presented by Eastern Suffolk BOCES, and it's more or less time for district teams to develop a legislative advocacy platform. And so that's something we're looking forward to as we continue to advocate on the part of SACHM. In addition, next board meeting, very difficult to believe, but we are there already. At the January 23rd board meeting, Mr. O'Keefe will begin our budget presentations. And so we invite you to grab some of your friends, your community members, colleagues to come out and to listen to the budget as it's presented over the next 5 to 6 meetings. And then we'll start our roadshow of going out to different community groups, different buildings, to share that information with everyone and anyone who will listen. This evening, we have an exciting presentation on some initiatives that are taking place in our school district with regard to teaching and learning and some of our instructional practices. And I'm going to hold off before I pass the microphone to them and just invite Nicholas and Kaylee to say a few words on behalf of North and East.
Good evening, everyone. Hope you all enjoyed the holiday season and break. I know I feel glad to be back in the swing of things. I just have a short update about SACHM North's activities. Over the break, many members of the SACHM North National Honor Society chapter participated in a pantry project via the St. John's and Lighthouse missions. Groups of 3 or more students would gather boxes of food, bags of clothes, or whatever materials the missions needed, and they would donate it to them. It's really cool to see our students out there making a difference in people's lives through their donations and hard work. Additionally, I'd like to make note of SACHM's decision to participate in this year's Hour of Code, an event that I think took place the week before Christmas break. It's around that time. The Hour of Code is an initiative that provides students with the opportunity to learn more about coding and computer science. It is designed as a 1-hour course to teach the basics of coding and possibly encourage the pursuit of a career in the field of computer science. Coding is becoming more and more prevalent in the world, given today's technological scene and where it's headed. I think it was a great decision to participate in the Hour of Code because code's becoming part of every industry and every field, and giving our students the opportunity to explore and demystify something that they use every day is something important and good. So thank you, guys.
Hello. Sorry, I have a cold. Hello, I hope you all have a wonderful winter holiday. East is very busy this week. All our clubs are doing their own winter things. So today our virtual enterprise students went to a trade show that was hosted at LIU Post. They prepped all break for it, and the students collaborated on different projects and presented to various judges, including the president of LIU Post, which was a great opportunity for all our students interested in business. Tomorrow, best buddies from North and East are coming together to have a fun winter movie night at 6 p.m. at East, if anybody's interested in that. The music department is busy with auditions for the spring musical, which I believe is Mamma Mia. I don't know if I wasn't supposed to share that. student government is planning a dodgeball tournament to benefit ALS. Just last month, we had representatives present to a select group of students, and the representatives were from ALS Ride for Life, which will be taking part again in the spring. So we had a poll to see what events students would be interested in doing before March Madness starts, and everyone liked dodgeball, so we put together this tournament with safe foam balls, of course. So we're excited for that. Thank you.
You know, I wanted to thank Nicholas and Kaylee and congratulate both of them as they just found out their college acceptances. We just had this chat, so they can perhaps relax a little bit at this point and enjoy the rest of their senior year. But certainly we look forward to a couple more months with them as representatives on the board. But congratulations to both of you on your acceptances. Yeah. You know, and also I just wanted to say Nicholas brought up a great thing about the Hour of Code. And certainly within our community, there are some tremendous partners, and one of those partnerships exists with the SACHM Public Library, and we have Neely McKay here this evening from the SACHM Public Library. she frequents our board meetings, actually. So we've seen her throughout the course of the past several years. But the partnership that exists between the district and the Sachem Public Library at every level has been tremendous, and that's a testament. And we thank you, Neely, to you and your staff for continuing that. And they were instrumental with many of the Hour of Code activities throughout the school district. So I'm going to now present I'm going to pass the microphone to Ms. Hines and a number of our administrators to present on the Tri-State Consortium.
I just want to thank you again for giving us the opportunity to share some of the great work that's going on in our district. There we go. I turned it off. Sorry, everybody. So for the past couple of board meetings that we've had, we've shared updates to what we've been doing overall through curriculum instruction. And then last board meeting, we also talked about where we're at as far as our social emotional learning and the work that we're doing there. And tonight, we're really pleased to present to you what we've been doing in terms of professional development across our district, really focusing on our administrative team right now through the Tri-State Consortium. And if you remember, the Tri-State Consortium is a piece of professional development that we brought to our district to really help us focus on what we're looking to do goal-wise across our district. And again, like every presentation that we start with, I just like to remind everybody about our beliefs in terms of curriculum instruction and the fact that we're focusing on all major groups that we have in our district. So our general education students, our special education students, and our L population that is continually growing, because we believe that not everyone is separate, but we're all together in what we're doing for our district. Tonight we're going to be focusing on, in terms of our beliefs, really this kind of work and us being able to really individualize the instruction and what we give across our buildings. So just to remind you again, when we started our relationship with Tri-State, our biggest questions that we were asking ourselves and really wanted to focus on as we continue is, what are we teaching, how are we teaching our content and skills, and how do we know if students really understand what they're being taught in our classrooms? Our Tri-State model, again, is based on a systems thinking approach. It allows our district to work with other high-performing school districts and to work with one another, to visit, talk, encourage one another, experience professional development about best practices today. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass it over to our administrators, who are going to take turns just reminding you lightly about the performance indicators that Tri-State honors. This thing is slow.
So good evening. The first performance indicator is performance-based assessments, and that is where we are prompted to think about where we provide students the opportunity to take what they're learning, to transfer that knowledge, and to show us what they're learning through various forums, other than a paper and pencil test. How are they able to show us through projects that they have voice and choice with? So that's the first one, performance-based assessment.
The next one is student metacognition in the learning process. Here, students build their capacity to reflect and make choices through their own voice and choice on how they're learning, how they're reflecting, and revising their own learning. Our next indicator is student performance data, and this is where you're collecting, analyzing, and disseminating student performance information to the teachers, administrators. Everyone's collectively looking at the performance and how we can tweak the instruction to increase it.
So the curriculum instruction prompts us to look and assess how the curriculum is aligned vertically and horizontally to make sure that students have the optimal, are able to give their optimal results on how they are performed.
Professional learning, supervision, and evaluation. This indicator talks about and basically speaks to the collaborative and reflective practices that school districts have as far as leadership and how collegially and organic the process is with regards to
Next, we look at equitable support of student needs. Identify and meet student academic and non-academic needs. I think the non-academic needs is a strong focus for us. in recent times and moving forward, when we look at the SEL needs of students, like Project Kindness and yoga, and things outside the classroom to really enhance their instructional and experiences in school.
Shared vision and environment for change. Basically, the goal focuses on student performances and how clearly this is articulated through all groups, what your commitment is to the program, to what you're taking a look at. It takes a look at how vertically and horizontally our alignment is with regards to your vision.
And parent and community support. Active involvement of parents and community is encouraged and supported. We want to hear from every stakeholder in the school community. We have many councils set up that involve students, administrators, parents, and sometimes students. And it's a good way to have your voice heard.
So what this tries to do for SACHM, before we go through these again, I just want to thank everybody. This is really tonight the most important part, and then being able to share our history, being able to share what this project has meant to them so far. We're starting to move forward with more of our teachers as well. But Tri-State, before we go over this, really is about us being able to talk about these indicators with other school districts. It's great to be able to talk to your colleagues and districts. Sometimes it's nice to just have fresh eyes and fresh voices to talk about these kinds of ideas. So again, what does Tri-State do for us? It provides us a framework for district-wide focus on academics and more what else we're working on for student performance, collaborating with other high-performance districts, giving access to high-quality and cost-effective professional development. This is something that is really important to us because, again, this is not just one piece, but one piece of many of what we're bringing to the district in order to be able to support our teachers, our self administrators, and then eventually our parents for our students. And then projected indicators directly correlated with our Board of Education goals. So again, not confusing anybody, not bringing anything on with above and beyond, but just again, how do we narrow everything to our district? So again, tonight is really the most important piece is for our board and our community to hear about what this has meant to our administrators so far that have experienced this. So I'm going to hand it over to principals to just share what's for them so far.
So the elementary book, they have an elementary principals group, and it's a book club around Unselfie, Why Empathic Kids Succeed in an All About Me World. So it's actually a very very good book for what we start thinking about the mental wellness of our children, our students, thinking about the SEL commitment we have here in SACHM and how to help move forward. So it was a book that the Linwood staff, we read as a collegial circle. So I was excited to be able to join a group of principals throughout the tri-state area to continue the conversation, and through that conversation we've been able to discuss ways that they're bringing these practices into the building, how they're sharing it with their staff, and I was very excited to take one of the ideas of starting a parent book club. So yesterday was the first day that we had our parent book club at Linwood, so being part of that group really inspired me to do that, and speaking with other administrators was nice to bounce ideas off. You know, it's great to talk to our SACHM colleagues, but also to have an outside ear to hear how they're doing it as well.
So that was the first book talk, so they decided to stick with it because the first meeting was so successful. So I went to the second meeting, and they did it in this Padlet, which is on the computer, and we all had to talk about how we use these different books that deal with empathy in our buildings and how we introduce it to the staff and the students. And it's just kind of neat for all of us to be seeing something new technology-wise, and so I'm going to be doing it tomorrow with my staff at a faculty meeting with the hope to kind of wet their whistle a little bit, and our staff developer will be training them on that tablet technology and hopefully get them to use the new laptops in a new kind of different sort of way. So we come out of that with a lot.
The summer I initially was trained in all the different rubrics and the ways of looking at each of the different indicators within the school system with a large group of SACHM administrators, and that was a great opportunity to have collegial conversations, what's happening in different buildings. Then in December, from December 5th through 7th, I visited the Chappaqua School District, and it was a consultancy where we went in with an essential question. So we were looking at their special education practices and whether or not their inclusive approach produces a positive result. So I was fortunate enough to be on the elementary team, and we interviewed parents, teachers, students, administrators. I was going back and forth between our BLT while I was doing the visit, and I was saying, they're doing this and we're doing that, and it was really a back and forth. And as I shared with Dr. Graham, it was a great way for me to hold up the mirror to the Chappaqua School District while holding up the mirror to myself and saying, we're really doing wonderful things. How can we expand that? And through our BLT and our principal's advisory and through collaboration with other administrators with the help of, you know, the central office team, so many wonderful things are moving forward.
My experience was over the summer, as I said, we traveled up to Westchester to get trained to be a visiting team to a school district. And the five or six of us in the car spent 2 days together driving. We made a lot of great connections with each other. Then sitting in those, it was very well planned out, a very meaningful experience when we got to Westchester for those 2 days. We really learned a lot about how to analyze a school and how to analyze the indicators. I was fortunate to visit Wappingers Falls School District, which is a school district similar to ours. Multiple high schools, multiple middle schools, multiple elementary schools. And I really, it was just one of the best experiences I had in terms of professional development. I was able to see what they did and hopefully offer them some insight as part of that team, the visiting team, but I also could get some insight into what we do compared to what we do, and it was just an incredible experience.
My experience was very similar. I went with the training, we all went up state to be trained over the summer, and then I was fortunate enough to go on a visit to Katona Lewisboro, and that is up by Bedford, New York. I went in October. And I participated in a very, very, very meaningful, it was very eye-opening for me because it was a new superintendent coming in with a learning commitment plan. And basically, he asked us to analyze how this was going in his district. So it was basically a group of us analyzing a whole district. And what they were going through, some of the things we were talking about were their belief in their learning commitment, how students and parents are experiencing their learning commitment, and how is it being utilized. So it's almost like we were taking a look at how another leadership's vision was being implemented. So naturally, it drew a lot of comparisons to some of the work that we're doing here, which was really eye-opening. And you know, like you said, you have that mirror where you're almost reflecting back on them, but you're taking a lot away. But also, what I really found powerful was we met a whole bunch of colleagues from outside of Long Island, basically in the tri-state area. So we got to sit with and meet with people from Connecticut, high-performing districts in Connecticut, New Jersey, and upstate New York, people that we necessarily wouldn't be able to really connect with on the island. So we were able to get outside and really see, really get to make those connections with people we necessarily wouldn't have. So.
And I just want to thank everybody for tonight for presenting. Most of our administrative team has already been trained, and as I said, we're starting to continue now moving forward with our teachers. But our folks here tonight, we had asked if they had already gone on one of the first visits for the district, and we just wanted everybody to see how meaningful it was to not only get trained, but then to be able to visit. Just about right before the holiday break, myself, Ms. Alvia, Ms. Trombetta, Mr. Antonetti, Mr. Panassi, again, unfortunately, to do another 2-hour visit with us in the thing. But even snow didn't stop us. We were so committed to going back to Tri-State to just start talking about instructional practices for the secondary buildings. With all of that said, what are our next steps? Well, as I just said before, at the end of this month, we have quite a bit of teachers who are now starting to move forward and do the training. Our goal is to really build capacity at every building, so we have key people trained. People who are starting to go on these visits, so we are really creating a common plan, a common language across our district. We
Ms. Hines, thank you. Could I just introduce our principals first, or assistant principals? Yeah. We have Dr. Galligan, who is assistant principal at Sagamore, Mr. Panassi, principal of Sagamore, Dr. DiLorenzo, principal of Linwood, Ms. Kleinman, principal of Nokomis, and Ms. O'Farrell, principal of Hiawatha. So I wanted to thank you and our administrative team for their presentation before the board got to the questions. Yeah.
I didn't like that comment, but thank you for the first. You can leave now, Kenya. Aaron, thank you, and thank you all for coming and doing such a great presentation. It was very insightful. I know when this first started to come up, we all kind of had different questions about it and how it was going to work out, but it seems like it's very informative. I just have a quick question as far as now that they've gone and they've observed what's going on in some other school districts. How does the process work now when they come back to their buildings or come back to district? Do they try to meet with the teachers in the building or the staff in the building, or do they come to you first and say, we have these ideas, how do we implement them? How does that process work?
I don't think we really formalize exactly what happens when they come back, but, you know, I mean, I don't want to speak for them.
I think to all of the above. I was excited to have my first chair meeting because I really shared what I experienced upstate. I brought back and talked about the things that we do, things they do, and how we can improve both. It was a great experience. So we definitely brought it back, some ideas, and shared with teachers and shares and DO points.
And even what it really helped with us, too, was departmentally, when we talk about things like project-based learning and project-based assessments, being able to talk to teachers and colleagues, we were able to come back and basically say to our people that everybody is basically almost saying the same thing that kind of you are, and that everybody's kind of in sort of, there are a lot of similarities. So it kind of makes it more, when you get that, it's more comforting, especially when you get that outside perspective and you bring it back. You know, people actually feel that there are others kind of in their boat initiatives that are going on. And it's able to put a positive light onto things.
So you get feedback, too, from your building. And there might be some things that you bring back and say, this would be great, but your staff might say, well, it's great, but we can't do it the same way because of X, Y, and Z, but we can alter that a little bit to make it work in our building.
Aaron, just like Aaron said, I think we probably have teachers on staff who have become well-versed and are conversant, fluent in some of the indicators. And then we have other people who are still not exactly sure what Tri-State means or what it could mean for us. So I think that we have the full continuum of where people are in their learning around this. And that's something that we're going to, you know, Aaron and I had presented to every faculty in the district. We've held staff development sessions on Election Day. So we're trying to have and build a critical mass throughout the district as well as at every building. But I think we have the full continuum as far as where people are and their understanding of what the heck this is and what it could potentially mean for our district.
Okay. Did anybody visit Sachem? Because what I gathered out of that, we visited Wappinger Falls and people who are probably doing a little bit better than we are. So I want to know where we kind of fall in the food chain, and did anybody come visit us because we're doing a little bit better job than they're doing?
So that's actually the next step, and a really great question. First, you have to build the capacity, get trained so that you understand the protocols.
Okay.
It's kind of tough to have somebody come into your home and say, yeah, you're doing great in this, and you kind of need to amp it up a little bit here. So just to, again, make sure that before a visit comes in, it's not about strengths and weaknesses. It's about what else could you be doing for your district based on what you're doing already that's really working well.
Okay.
But yeah, first we have to sort of wait a little bit longer for the remainder of this year, and then our focus is to hopefully start something as soon as next year.
Okay.
I have one. Dr. DiLorenzo, I remember last year you were one of the first buildings to bring the project-based learning into your classrooms. Every grade level had to do at least one lesson with that. How is it going, and how far have you come?
Actually, thank you for asking that, because we're very proud with the progress we've been making. So last year it was just get to know project-based learning. It's a new methodology of instruction. It's not new curriculum. It's just thinking about your form of instruction and how you can really engage students and provide them with the voice and choice that they need to stay engaged in the lesson. So, you know, typically we're used to giving information to students and then handing them a test and seeing how they do. Project-based learning provides them with the opportunity to use different venues to show what they're learning. So they may be technology savvy, they may want to do, some children like to do comic strips, some children like to write, some children like to dance, some children like to create art. So last year was just thinking about how we can use that methodology to start and think about our instruction and engaging students. This year, I'm happy to say that each grade level is moving forward with not just one unit, but two. Once you try it, you really understand how much it means to the children because they're so engaged in their learning because they're learning about a topic that they're comfortable with and that they're interested in. So it pushes them to want to learn more information. It really helps children sustain inquiry. And they're really excited about the work that they're producing because it also ties to real-world issues. So, for example, we have our third grade, they're working on a unit. They read a book. It was one of the module books we used a while ago. Rain School, and it's about a school in Africa that the children, they don't have any books, and it's just about their community. So this inspired the children to come up with a way to create books that they can send over to Africa. So now they're working it into their ELA curriculum, they're working into their social studies curriculum, they're thinking about how ways that they can raise money to send the books over to Africa. They're bringing in outside experts to talk about how to create a book, and the students in Africa that the school that they're donating to, they're reading at levels A, B, and C, which is really kindergarten, maybe first grade level. So we have our reading specialists going in to teach the children what those books look like in third grade. So what are the characteristics of an A book? What's the characteristic of a B book? And how do you get children to read? So now they're actually thinking about their learning of how to read and creating books that they can send over to help another community. So that's just one example. So thank you.
Ms. Lauer, I just want to mention too, I know we talked about this before, while the elementary right now is focusing heavily on our new elementary math workshop, for any of those buildings that were already sort of doing that project-based learning, there's moving full steam ahead, as Dr. DiLorenzo said. Others are starting to talk about it, get a little bit of training here and there, but we're really focusing on our elementary buildings. And tomorrow is our first building that we're visiting all day long to give a more in-depth training to all of our teachers.
Yeah, just, Aaron, is this kind of tied to, like, was it Miller's theory of multiple intelligences? Is that kind of the basis of the learning when you mention how some people kind of display what they learned by art, by technology, by physical fitness?
I think for what Dr. DiLorenzo was talking about with project-based learning, that would be tied to multiple intelligences.
Is it Dr. Miller was his name or something?
I don't think it was Dr.
The theory
Miller
of multiple
for
intelligences?
Gardner.
Howard Gardner, yeah. All right. I'm dating myself, but I
think but, you know, it's that idea where people could demonstrate what they're learning in many different ways.
Yeah.
Not just on a test, and also explore that learning and have some choice in that learning that would help engage a student.
Thanks.
Also just really work on those 21st century skills that we've been talking about. You don't leave here to just listen to somebody and take a test. You have to collaborate. You have to be able to present. You have to be able to be resilient, work through things. So that's really what project-based learning is all about.
Okay. The first visitor section is just for what's on the agenda, so the second visitor section at the end will be when we call up for things not on the agenda. Okay. So we're on consent agenda for business items 3A1 through 3B2. May I please have a motion? Sarah, second. Meredith, any questions? Dorothy.
So, Mr. O'Keefe,
today I did send you questions late about the treasurer's report. It was actually late right before the board meeting. I apologize for that. But if you could just get those back to me. You might have even responded. I didn't look at my email right before the meeting. All right, so then never mind. I'll look at my email. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We're on page 3. Personnel items. Consent agenda for personnel items 4A1 through 4D7. May I please have a motion? Sarah. Second. Mike. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Could I just interject, Ms. Slattery?
Yes.
There were two people I just want to acknowledge and congratulate this evening. The first is Trish Auletta, who moved up on the salary scale. That's not why I'm congratulating her. We're congratulating her because the reason that she moved up on the salary scale was she just completed her doctorate, so she's now Dr. Auletta. So congratulations, Trish. This evening, we are also, we have our Waverly principal, Mr. Tuffer, who fell ill earlier this year, and as a result, we had to fill that position, and so we looked to within, and this evening, we appointed Mr. Desmond, who's one of our assistant principals at Samoset, as the interim principal at Waverly Elementary School. So congratulations, Mr. Desmond.
Okay, we're on page 12, action items, consent agenda for action items 511 through 517. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Mike, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 14. Field trips, 521, approval of field trip for the 2018-19 school year. May I please have a motion? Mike, second. Dorothy, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 522, athletic trip. May I please have a motion? Dorothy, second. Mike, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 3, donations, 531, donation from Grundy Avenue Elementary School, PTA. May I please have a motion? Meredith, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Reading, adoption, and abolishment, 541, second reading, adoption, and abolishment of policies. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Dorothy, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 5, recommendation from Committee on Special Education, 551. May I please have a motion? Meredith, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Monthly reports, determination from the Committee on Preschool Special Education, 6A1. May I please have a motion? Sarah, second. Meredith. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Board of Education subcommittees.
I can update it on the legislative committee. So we have another meeting coming up, I believe, on the 14th. And some of the members of the legislative committee, like Dr. Graham had mentioned, are going to be attending the meeting, the workshop this weekend, and then also the Longwood meeting on the February 2nd. So part of the agenda is still with the legislative committee, is still with the Smart Schools Bond. We still have not received our money. So that's part of the agenda, and we're working with Dr. Graham and administration to try to move forward on that.
Thank you. Any other committee updates? Okay. Okay. We'll go to the visitor section. Mr. LaSala. Good evening.
So I'm here following up from our November, your November meeting. I handed out some literature, just so people that don't know what I'm talking about. I provided a bunch of literature for the board to review ways we can implement a better identification of inappropriate actions between students and teachers. It's a growing epidemic in the country, and I thought maybe if we spoke about it a little bit. We could come together with some way on it. So I provided them with a lot of stuff. And I guess my first question is, do you guys have any questions on the literature that I provided? And do you have any comments?
So, yes, so we all read it at a public board meeting. It's not really a discussion. So maybe if you want to set up an appointment with Dr. Graham, and I volunteered one of the board members, myself or anybody else, will come and we'll meet and have a discussion, because a public session board meeting is not for a back and forth discussion. It's for, like, the visitor section is a 3-minute visitor section. Where you comment or whatever, but I would be more than willing to meet with you. With Dr. Graham, you can set an appointment, and I would be happy to come.
Okay, that's great.
So thank you.
Before I make that appointment, we might as well talk about a couple other things at that appointment. One being,
Mr. LaSalle, do you mind if I ask, would you just go to the microphone, because this is not, all the audio is recorded for the board meetings, and without the audio, it doesn't get recorded?
Understood. Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Is that better?
Well, you just have to press the button so that it's green.
It's green. Okay. Okay. I understand. I got it. So one of the things to talk about, I know you submitted an updated code of conduct, I believe, in the November meeting. And one of the things that I found in that prior to your resubmitting it, and then I read it after I made some amendments to it, was that there is no avenue for the type of thing that I'm discussing right now. Right? So... It's a painful thing to talk about, honestly, you know, when you think about it. But it happens. It's out there. It's happened local in our community in the last week, right? So really what I want to impress upon you guys is that it is there. And I'm not here. I didn't just come into this in November. I'd met twice with Dr. Graham. 2 years ago was the first meeting. And I shared some very personal stuff with him. A year, and said I wanted to do something like this. And a year passed, I met with Dr. Graham again and shared and talked about it, brought some of that literature that I provided to you guys again. And then I felt like I thought that would have been enough for him to bring it to you and start talking about it, knowing how serious I am about it. So when that didn't happen, I spoke to him before I came in November and told him I was coming. And I'm going to continue my effort. It hits home for me in a big way. And it's out there. New York State law 23B is a reporting requirement put in 98. The one experience I had talks specifically about persons other than a parent or a child making an allegation. And I'm not going to read the bullets because I only have 3 minutes, and I probably use them. But I want you to go to that law and find that paragraph and read these bullets. Because before we meet, I'm going to foil the district and get the information from my circumstance. Because this was in 98, this happened. This is put into effect. And I want to see if you guys follow that. If you look at what happens, and I want to just, Mr. Morrow, since you were the one who redid the code of excellence, if you have a code of excellence... And you have a policy for something as serious as this that doesn't appear in your code of excellence, the State Education Department wants to know why. And they're going to come ask you.
Ms. LaSalle, I'm the counsel for the district. And certainly as
What's
you...
What's your name, sir?
My name is Chris Clayton. I'm the attorney for the school district. Nice to meet you. How are you?
Good.
And I know, we've had some discussions about this before. But as to your concerns about compliance with 23B or any of the other obligations that are set forth in those kinds of anything ranging from... reports of that kind, mandated reporting, and so forth, those are handled with the utmost secrecy most times because they're involving a student or an allegation that is entitled to a degree of legal protection.
I'm very aware.
So, no, I know you are, but I mean, those who are in the audience to whom you might be speaking may not be aware.
Okay.
So just understand, please, that while we may not broadcast and discuss publicly the manner in which we comply with the law diligently every time, I assure you that that is something that with the assistance of counsel and through the offices of the administration here, those are treated with. Sir, I'm not done speaking. I've given you the courtesy of allowing you to speak.
Okay,
I just want to make sure.
It's my right to speak. You didn't give me any
it is.
Courtesy. And I was talking, and I allowed you to interrupt.
About the courtesy of speaking beyond the 3 minutes that you're allotted, sir.
Have these bullet points been adhered to, I believe, that the situation I found myself in would have saved four other instances until that specific person was released.
So we're not going to talk about any particular issues in a public meeting.
You know what? Sometimes you got to get it out there. Because you know what? When you don't, I spoke to Dr. Graham on Monday and told him what I was going to, and asked him if there was any chatter about what I was going to come about tonight. And he said to me, Steve, I don't know if we really need to talk about it. It's not in our district. And I said,
Mr. LaSalle, I absolutely did not say that to you on the phone.
You said those exact words to me.
I apologize to you.
And I said to you,
but there is no way that I said that to you.
Bring it out there. No one wants to talk about it.
Mr. LaSalle, what I said to you, and I will say it again, is that many of the things in the literature that you provided to the Board of Education, as well as to myself, which I read multiple times, are things that we do. Those are things that we've addressed. And any time that there is an issue within our school district, as our council has just said, we address it immediately.
I've been waiting 2 years. I met with you twice in 2 years. You were going to something was going to happen. I'm here because nothing
things
happened.
Have happened.
No one in the community knows what's happened. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other future agenda items? Okay. I would like to have
Laura,
a motion.
No future agenda items, but Dr. Graham, if I could just have you just explain something tonight or later on. A few meetings ago, I threw it out there about getting a cost analysis on putting the district back together, and I appreciate the response. It was great. And now when I'm out and about in the community and somebody says, why aren't we putting the district back together? You know, the answer is that we can't fit four grades in one high school. And the savings was really just beyond facility savings because all the teachers still remain. So then the question is, I want to give them an educated answer on the format that we utilize, which obviously multiple districts utilize, that we have 9, 10, 11, 12 in one high school. Because when you tell them that you can't fit 9, 10, 11, 12 in one high school, the immediate response is, well, what was wrong with having 9, 10 in one school and 11, 12 in another school, like it used to be? So, yeah, I just want to be able to give them an educated decision that your pipe dream is not coming to fruition anytime soon, and here's why. So either now or another time, it's up to you. It doesn't matter.
I don't have all of the information on me at this moment, but I do remember the request coming in and then responding to it. I don't remember the numbers if you do.
It was $3 million savings. That's fine. Yeah. I just want to know why we put 9, 10, 11, 12 in one high school. And so, I know a lot of people do it, and it's probably beneficial, and academics come first.
Yeah, a lot. It's we probably could list on, you know, the two hands, the schools that don't do it. The very small school districts have 7 through 12 schools often. That's the very small. Okay. And then there are a number of schools that are the most large that may have a ninth grade center or something like that. What I think people, when they're hearkening back to a day where there may have been that many or more students in one building or 9, 10, and then, you know, north and south, is that today's schools look very different than the schools of 10, 15, 20 years ago. The number of students who we have small space instructional needs for has changed tremendously. The number of counselors, social workers, psychologists who now work in schools, assistant principals, who are all dedicated to the social and emotional needs of our students has increased tremendously, and it's very different. One of the things that you have to also remember is that following some of the changes in 2001 with NCLB and then the graduation requirements that changed thereafter, is that today's graduate, all high school graduates, have to take many more courses than ever before. So it's the 22 credits that are also associated with a number of Regents exams that every student as a graduation requirement have to take, whereas in the past, if you go back to the early 90s, the late 80s, when Sachem was at its largest, oftentimes a senior did not need to have a full program in their senior year. So you may even be able to decrease the number of students in the building through that. So our buildings look very different today than they did 10 to 15 years ago. And I would say that our students, just because of, and I don't mean our students' need, but if you looked at it as a per student need or requirement, we need more space to educate every child if you do it mathematically like that.
Perfect.
I don't know if we could fit Sachem of 85 in two buildings anymore.
You gave me enough.
Okay.
You gave me enough. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Graham. Can I please have a motion to go into executive session to discuss the employment of a particular personnel, legal advice regarding pending litigation, and matters relating to a particular student? Dorothy, second. Meredith, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.